Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Yes, this is a Gulf Coast Sunday morning. Just a lot of opportunities out there today. You know, let me tell you something I've been seeing this past week. Ordering seeds. I got most of my seeds, but there were a few I wanted to add. And I've been going to places where I order seeds, and they have little notices saying, we're selling out. We don't have them anymore. We're sold out. We can't keep up with demand. Our demand has been 2, 3, 4 times higher than normal. We're going to be delayed on sending seeds. This is good news, maybe. Maybe people are realizing that seeds are valuable. But, you know, I worry that people are buying seeds like they're buying toilet paper. And that would be a mistake. That would be a mistake. You know, when you buy your seeds in panic and you plant them in panic, you're not going to harvest much. You're not going to get the benefits of what those seeds can really do. My fear is that those who said, oh, you know, this is all a hoax, it's all going to... Now they're in a terrible panic, and they're buying seeds like they're buying toilet paper. You can't hoard seeds, folks. That's something you need to know. Seeds are for planting now. You can't hold on to seeds to next spring. They have to be planted now. At the same time, there's something else you need to know about seeds. They can't all be planted at once. So don't plant your seeds all in panic. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And there's a third thing I'm going to tell you about. And here's the way that I would suggest, and I'm going to suggest this to many of you who are buying seeds or looking for seeds or planting seeds desperately now, that there's one way to get over it. When you buy your vegetable seeds, which you believe are going to get you through this crisis, buy some flowers. Buy some flower seeds to go with it. Plant you some flowers too, so that you won't plant those seeds in panic, because there's no need. There's no need. Hey, let's talk a little bit about that. We're going to get into some of the basics of gardening, because I think with all these people who have seeds, they're going to need to know what to do with them, right? I suspect there are a lot of people out there who are buying seeds and don't quite know what to do with them, just like all those people who bought all that toilet paper don't quite know what they're going to do with it either. What do we do with those seeds? What are we doing with those seeds? Let's talk a little bit about that this morning. Let's talk about what it is good to plant right now. Can we do that? Because I went through this with some folks who were just getting into gardening. And I realize that there is a that something maybe I take for granted is not that's very important to planting seeds in a place like Mobile and in Alabama. It's not something that's well understood by people who are just getting started. We have lots of seasons here, lots of different seasons, and we can grow things in every season, but not the same thing in every season. Right? Not the same. You can't grow your tomatoes through the winter very well. Some people try. There are some special circumstances in which you could build a greenhouse and you could heat the greenhouse and you would do okay with tomatoes. But it's not the time to plant tomatoes in November. And it's not the time to plant collards and kale and turnips and broccoli and cauliflower and lettuce in March. Those kinds of seeds are for cool season gardens in Mobile. We are now in the warm season. spring is rapidly disappearing. We're going to have a shorter spring than normal. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning because I'm very worried about what's happening to spring right now. We're going to have temperatures in the mid-80s, even into the high 80s next week. This is not good. This is not good, folks, this early in the year. It won't make it easier. It will make it harder, particularly with the lack of rain. But there's a way around it. We just got to plan for it. We got to plan for it. But now is the time to begin thinking about planting seeds. What are the kinds of things that need to go in the ground right now? Your tomatoes need to go in the ground right now. This is your last call. This is really the last call because if you don't get tomato plants, not tomato seeds, but if you don't get your tomato plants in the ground right now, you're not going to have time to harvest those tomatoes before summer gets here and really shuts down production along with all the insects and other problems. Get your tomatoes planted right now. Right now. It's time to plant beans. My goodness, is it ever time to plant beans. Get your beans planted. I hope you've got pole beans. It'll be the most productive thing you have in your garden this spring. If you get those beans planted, it's unbelievable. Not bush beans. Don't bother with bush beans. If you're a commercial grower with a tractor, you need bush beans. If you're a person with a garden, you need pole beans. They're much more productive. You get a lot more in a small space. They're a lot tougher for our climate. There are a lot of good pole beans out there. They're absolutely delicious. It'll change your idea about what green beans are. If the only green beans you've ever had are out of a can, these will flat knock you down. They're so good. They're so good. Try the beans. They'll be really good. You can plant your corn. Better get it quick. No need to plant it quite all at once, but you got to get it started. It's ready to go. Listen, here's the other thing. If you don't, it's probably not too early right now to plant eggplants given the high temperatures we've got. I don't know what's going to happen with April. Sometimes when we get these extreme March warm spells, we get a turnaround in April where it's a little cooler than normal. But I would say go ahead, get your eggplants in the ground. Basil, it's a great time to sow basil. Basil seeds are really important. If you can find the basil seeds that are resistant to diseases, one of the basils that we really like is a basil called Obsession. If you can find that one, Johnny's Select Seeds, it's been very resistant to disease. It's been very productive in Mobile's climate. It doesn't get the really harsh flavors of some of the others. Obsession basil, really great. Sow your seeds for that now. You're not going to find those at Walmart or Home Depot or Lowe's. They're going to have very disease susceptible basil plants, and you can try them. But diseases can be pretty bad. Sow your basil seeds now. That's a really great thing to do. Squash is great. You know, we have, if you're gonna do yellow squash, go ahead and buy your plants or buy your seeds. Get them in the ground right away. We have a lot of problem with yellow squash. It doesn't do that well for us for a lot of reasons because of some insect pests. You can try it. But if you can find squash that is vining squash, it's a great time to plant your vining squash. Go ahead and get it established. We can talk about what that is. You can call me and ask me about all the different kinds of squashes. Great time to do that. Peppers. Oh, my goodness. Peppers can bring so much to the table. It's definitely time to plant your bell peppers. Get them. If you can find bell pepper plants, that's the way to go right now. If you're going for seeds, don't go for bell pepper seeds. It's too late for seeds. In fact, don't even go for annuum seeds. What you really want to do are look for South American peppers. We can talk about that. It's not too late to start those from seeds and get them going. They'll be very productive this summer. But yeah, go ahead and buy some plants of those things. But you know what? There's a bunch of other things we can talk about planting. It's time to plant. It's time to do the planting we need to do to keep us happy through spring and summer. But buy some flowers too. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about adding those to your garden. We'll talk about why. We're going to talk a little bit about the climate as well. Talk a little bit about what the temperatures are going to bring this spring and how you can prepare for it. And you need to be prepared. whether you've got a lawn or a vegetable garden or a shrub border, you need to be prepared. It's going to be dry this spring. It looks like it could be a serious situation. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how to prepare for it so that you don't have to panic. It's a good time for sowing seeds. It's always a good time for sowing seeds. And I'm glad so many of you are out there doing it. Give us a call this morning, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106.
The rain is falling through the mist of sorrow that surrounded me. The sun
Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. I don't know. Let me tell you about the seed situation. It's kind of interesting. It is very interesting. It's very hard right now to find certain kinds of seeds. And I'm curious to know what kind of seeds people are buying. It's an interesting question. I hope they're getting the right seeds for the right time. And I hope people understand, you know, people at one point, somebody, they always have these seed lending libraries, and I was thinking, you know, they ain't such a great idea in a place like Mobile, because unless you keep those seeds very carefully stored, within a couple of years at most, a lot of those seeds will cease to germinate. So they're not things you hold on to for a long time. Some seeds actually, like onion seeds, you got to sow them right away. And this is not a great time to sow onions. So don't buy your onion seeds now. We'll need to buy them later in the year and sow them this fall. But it is a good time to think about buying seeds. But one of the things I've noticed is that places that sell vegetable seeds are having a real hard time keeping up with demands. People that sell flower seeds don't seem to have that delay. They don't seem to have that problem unless there's a quarantine where they are. People are not buying flower seeds. And, you know, I say this is the best time. This is the best time to buy flower seeds with your vegetable seeds. Buy both. Trust me, you'll see. You'll see. Those flowers make things a lot better. Get you some Cosmos seeds right now. They're very easy. They're very easy to sow. Even with the hot weather, the Cosmos are great. Get you some zinnia seeds. Zinnias are very easy to grow. They'll do well here. Get you some Tithonia seeds. It's Mexican sunflower seeds. They're beautiful. They're big. They're gaudy. You'll love them. They're great for your garden. Get you some flower seeds to grow along with your vegetables, and call me if you have questions about what kind of vegetable seeds to grow now. We've been talking about them. We'll talk about them more. We'll also need to talk about this weather we're going to be having. It's going to be really important. But we have Billy. I'm listening. What's going on out there?
Oh, just enjoying life. Could you tell me the correct way to prune stuff of non vines, and what should I use to fertilize it?
Wow, that's a big question. So have you got? Tell me how you have your scuppernongs. Are they on a trellis? Are they on an arbor?
They're on a arbor. It's like I got a wire run down on the post. They run down a long row of posts.
And have you got? Yeah, good. And they're about chest high, right? The wire is.
It's a little bit higher than that. I'd say maybe neck high, you know.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That's fine. You know, it really can be. Have these scuppernongs ever been pruned before?
They have.
Yeah. So pruning a scuppernong is a pruning muscadines, and is a pretty difficult thing. You know, it's getting to be a bit late to prune them, but certainly you can give it a try. What you're really looking for is you're trying to prune back so that you get the second year growth is going to be the most productive. And yet, but if you leave every stem, you're going to have big problems. And so what with most grapes and with most muscadines, what you really want is to have a main spur. And how old are these muscadines?
Well, they're different how ages. Long are they? I guess the youngest is probably 3, and the oldest is maybe 15 years.
Yeah, boy, it's going to be tough because each one's going to be a little bit different. But you basically want to have – you want to cut back to last year's growth. You have a spur coming out that was developed last year. It won't be that big, but you want to cut back to that growth. Each spur, you want about one spur about every hand's length apart. So about the length of your hand, you want a new spur coming out, and that will be producing shoots. And so when you prune those muscadines, you're going to prune back typically if you're even if you've been pruning every year, you're going to prune back maybe 75% of the growth each year. So that you know what to do. And the age of each of those is going to be, it's going to be a little different. It's going to look a little different because you're always looking for a new spur that was developed last year. You're looking for a new shoot that developed last year. And you're going to cut everything back so that you have just that one shoot. And you're going to have one of those shoots about a hand's length apart all along the vine. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So there it is. Now, when you get into it, you're going to see it's there's a lot of decision making, and particularly if you got a lot of shoots coming out, it's sometimes easier to go. And I will tell you, if you can get on the internet, this is where it's a little deficient. I wish I was there with you. I wish I was there beside you and we could look at those spurs. Or I wish we could see a picture of them and we could look at them and I could say, oh, well, let's keep this one. But go on the internet and look on the internet, and there will be diagrams that show you how to make the decisions. But basically there it is. You want a spur that developed last year at about a hand's length apart all along your vine. And if you do that, you'll be in pretty good shape. And you just cut that spur back so that there's about, so there's 2 or 3 buds on that left on that spur. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. It makes sense. Seemed like one year I didn't cut them back, and I had more scuppy knives that year than I did. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. You know, I guess I'm cutting them back wrong.
Well, your scuppernong production will vary from year to year, and it may or may not be the result of how you're pruning them back. But there it is. That's the basics. Hands length apart. You want a spur that developed last year, not the year before, but a spur that developed last year. You want to cut that spur back so that there's 2 or 3 buds left on it. You can see those little buds on the spur. So you'll cut that one back so that it's probably about 6 inches long at most. You see what I'm saying? And you want that about every 6 inches. And you don't want any other spurs coming out at that point. If you do, you're going to get, they can start competing with each other for sunlight, and they don't produce as well. Now, I will also tell you that you can mess up with muscadines, And you'll still get pretty good production. So don't fret about it too much. The lessons I'm giving are for people who really want to make maximum production out of their muscadines, But in general, that's about how you're going to have to do. Hey, Billy, you know something else? You can send me a picture if you want to.
I'll do it.
And I'll take a look at it.
Bill, I know you're big on this cottonseed meal. And I've already put some around the scuppernine. Is that kosher?
Oh, yeah, man. And the reason I'm high on cottonseed meal is it's so hard to mess up, and it's very effective, and it lasts a long time. So you really won't have to fertilize those muscadines again for the rest of this year or even for next year if you put out a decent amount. And I would say for each vine, I'd probably put out about a gallon bucket. They don't need a lot. They don't need a lot of fertilizer. Unlike some trees, I think muscadines probably do better with a little bit leaner diet than some trees, but they'll be just fine, and that fertilizer will be released in a way that is perfect for the muscadines. So you did just right. And about a gallon bucket of fertilizer, and that can last a couple of years in some cases.
Okay, Bill, thanks for the info.
All right. Good luck. Send me pictures if you want more information about how to prune those guys, and we'll talk about it. Thanks, Billy. Good to hear from you. Let's see if we got. We're about to run out of time. There it is. Look at that. Hey, we're going to be back. Give us a call.
Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Samson seems sort of sweaty. The jasmine they smushed their word.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast sunny morning with Plain Gardening. Lots of things we could be talking about this morning, but you're asking me questions, and we're going to try to get to some of these questions. Josh raised some very interesting questions about squash. Josh, let me talk about squash. You know, the patty pan squash should be germinating any day now, as long as the soil is warm. It should be warm enough to go ahead and germinate that squash. So you should be seeing something very soon here with those squash, unless something came and ate your seeds, or unless the ground is super wet, and it shouldn't be. So I think you're going to be okay. You know, one of the things about squash, can I talk to you about squash? Some folks know this story. We go through it a lot. There are certain types of squash that have hollow stems. Yellow squash is one of those. Most zucchinis have hollow stems. A lot of patty pan squash have hollow stems. And the one thing about squash with hollow stems, that is the little vines that grow out, they're hollow, is that they're very susceptible to a pest that's very common on the Gulf Coast, much more common here and starts much earlier than it does in the rest of the country. And it's the squash vine borer. And it is nearly impossible to control the squash vine borer. Very difficult to control the squash vine borer. So you want to get those squash in early. Maybe you can beat the squash vine borer, but patty pan is pretty susceptible. Tell me how it goes, Josh. I'm very interested. One thing about squash, I eat lots of squash. Eat lots of squash in Mobile that I grow myself. But it is all squash that has hard stems. And every year I find another squash that has a hard stem that is as good or better than the one I found the previous year. But, you know, there is a lot of – I recommend to a lot of people growing tromboncino, which is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to say out loud. Let's say it again. Tromboncino. It kind of sounds like an Italian trombone. Well, that's kind of what it is. It's when it develops, it's a very long, long neck squash that can get very big. But tromboncino squash is very good when picked young. It's a vining squash. It does very well here. And it has a hard stem, so it doesn't get bothered. Korean ball squash is another great one. Now, here's the funny part. A lot of these, and there's others I'm trying and experimenting with, and I hope we'll have a larger list. The interesting thing about these squashes is that they really are Native American squashes that we forgot about. They're related to squash that still grow wild in parts of Florida and probably once may have even grown semi-wild in parts of Mobile. But we kind of forgot about them for a lot of reasons. And we have to rediscover them in Italy and in Korea and in other places that really found out these squash are really good and very delicious. So there's my thing about that. Dan and David will also remind me to tell you about gagutsa, which is not a true squash, but it is treated like a squash. It's a very famous squash here along the Gulf Coast. Gagutsa, a lot of fun. That's interesting about the patty pan squash, Joss. If you were under the impression they were not hollow stem, I am under the impression they were hollow stem. Josh, I can be wrong. But I think most of the patty pans are hollow stem. I'll check on that. We'll both check on that. Let's see how they do. And if they do well, please let me know. That is a good thing. I will tell you the truth. I have not grown patty pan squash in my Mobile garden. I've grown it elsewhere, but not in my Mobile garden. So I don't know how it's going to deal with the squash vine borer, but my suspicion is it was going to be a susceptible. So, Josh, you may have a little secret there that you need to share with us. Hope it does well. I hope it does really well. Some other questions that came in this morning on text. Just a reminder to people, it's always good to talk to you in person. I love talking to you in person. Don't ever feel shy to call. It's good. And sometimes we can kind of, you know, I get a sense, did I really answer your question? Is it, and sometimes we get to say, is it the right question we asked or is it another question? And sometimes I need to say, well, tell me a little more. So it's good to call in, but it's also good to get texts. And sometimes the texts come with pictures and you can do that. So you can send me a text with a picture. Just as simple as using your phone. If you can send pictures of your grandkids to all your friends who are probably tired of seeing pictures of your grandkids. But if you can do that, you can also send me pictures of plants, and I never get tired of seeing your plants. I'm not going to say I'm going to get tired of seeing your grandkids, but I'm not going to get tired of seeing your plants. Send me a picture of your plants. Let's talk about it. Let's take a look at it. Let's discuss what the problem is. All you got to do is text it to the number, 251-343-0106. So I did get some pictures this morning. Rusty in Moss Point sent me a very interesting picture of a live oak, and it's got scale on it. You know, I don't see scale on live oaks that much. And I'm looking closely to see if I see anything unusual about this live oak. Rusty, is that a young live oak? Is it a young live oak that you recently planted? If a bad scale infestation, particularly over the winter, can sometimes be associated with a plant that's a little under stress, that's not as strong as it should be. If it's a mature live oak, not much you can do about it, and I would be surprised to see it on a mature live oak that badly. But we do get scale insects. They're scale insects. Let me talk to you about scale insects real quickly, Rusty. If generally, as spring comes on, you're not going to see a problem with the scale insects because there's going to be lots of other insects that really beat up on them pretty bad. And a lot of infestations that I see develop over the winter is just like they magically disappear in spring, and all you'll see are the husks. You won't see many of the living adults. The crawlers are still there, but they're usually not a huge problem. If the plant is stressed, however, or if we've got some kind of new scale infestation, we'll have to think about it carefully, but I think it's going to clear up. If this is a young tree and it's under stress, you can begin to, and you're a little worried about the tree, you can use a horticultural oil. It works very well. You want it, it's going to be most, it works pretty well on the adults, actually. Not perfectly, but pretty well, because it coats them really well. You've got to cover them. You've got to cover the entire inside of the tree. But it can be very effective against the crawlers, too. It's good to go ahead and hit it now. Feel free to hit it now. But come back in about 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. The crawlers will be moving around. You can hit them again to get the crawlers, which are the little young'uns that don't have a scale, that don't have a hard back on them yet. And you'll probably pretty well eliminate that scale. Just use horticultural oil. That's all you really need to use. And that way you shouldn't affect the predators that are going to come in and keep those things under control naturally. There you go. It's another question. Will I have any luck growing loquat trees in southern Choctaw County? Yes, you'll have great luck growing trees in southern Choctaw County. The question is, will you get loquat fruit? The trees are perfectly hardy. The fruit are not as hardy. In southern Choctaw County, it's a little bit colder than it is in Mobile. One of the things that I've seen, and I've seen this in central Alabama, at my mom and dad's old garden in a very cold part of central Alabama, cooler part of central Alabama, and they would get loquat fruit every few years. The reason they did was because the tree was planted on the south side of their house and well protected, and so if you plant it so that it's in South Choctaw County, plant it on the south side so it gets protection from those northwest winds, in particular the west north sort of that little range, that 45 degree range or 90 degree range, excuse me, from west to north, that range, and then back just a little bit to the northeast is really where trees need protection in winter, because these cold winds blow, they come in early, it can make a big difference in how those fruits survive. The tree flowers in fall. It flowers in fall, generally November, October. We usually escape hard freezes in Mobile in November and into December. So the flowers are just fine. But in Choctaw County, you know, it could be a little bit cold. That's the part of the world I was born in. I know it can be a little bit cold in November. We get frost earlier up there. So just be aware. Put it on the south side so it gets blocked from those winds, and you'll get fruit more often. David is helping me here on the patty pan question. David says he thinks they are hollow stem, but he says he noted that they were more popular in Louisiana gardens than the yellow squash or zucchini. So he's theorizing the patty pan are a bit more resilient. And this is interesting. That's interesting. And this will be great. And Josh, we need to know. We need to know. Hey, Josh, here's an interesting experiment. Grow some yellow squash with your patty pan and tell me what happens. That way you can kind of compare the two and see how they do. Hey, we're going to be back. Give us a call, 251-343-0106.
chain on everything that was in my name. Oh, Lord, of me did not shake sugary. Everything I got is done and pawned. Everything I got is done and pawned.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. It is a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. I wish I could grow everything. I haven't grown everything. And I try to make good decisions about what I grow since I can't grow everything. I haven't grown scallop squash, patty pan squash, in Mobile, because I assumed it was going to have the same problem I had with yellow squash and zucchini because it's hollow stemmed. I've heard people say that they think it may be less attractive to the squash vine borer, or that it has. But Josh, here's the thing. Do a comparison. Help us all out. Do a comparison. Plant some zucchini or yellow squash. Just go to the store and buy whatever kind of stuff they got at the place, you know, those plants. And just plant a few out and see if and compare the two and see if there's any difference in how the yellow squash compares to the patty pan squash in terms of its attractiveness to the squash vine borer, or maybe I should say in terms of its ability to, or in terms of its losses to squash vine borer. They're all going to attract squash vine borers. It's just that when the squash vine borer lays her eggs on the hard stem squashes or on squashes with harder stems, the larvae don't penetrate as easily or as well, and so you don't get the kind of damage. And there's the secret. Josh is right on top of this. He's already growing Tomboncino. Thank you for letting me know. It's interesting, Josh. We're counting on you, man. let us know how it's going. Dan is in pursuit of longleaf. Dan, you know, I my eyesight is limited when it comes to looking at these far distant trees, but what I can tell is you're mostly still looking at slash pines, which are fine trees. They're beautiful trees. They're wonderful trees. One good way to know what a longleaf looks like, Dan, is go to the Botanical Gardens and go to the Mobile Botanical Gardens, walk through the longleaf forest there, and look up. There's what they look like. And you'll see them, and you'll say, wow. You'll see those big hooks. It looks like these. You noticed a few little hooks on those slash pines, but they seem too small. They seem like little bitty hooks up in the trees where the branches turn back up at the tips, but they're kind of twiggy. When I see something that looks a bit twiggy, I'm saying that's either loblolly or slash pine. If it turns up at the tip, I'm going to say it's slash pine. But longleaf has these big hooks. I mean big, giant hooks. It looks like a candelabra. There it is. Go out and take some pictures of those, Dan, and send them to me. Mike, I'm listening. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Bill. Hey, I was asked this morning, my wife and I were having coffee talking about the garden and everything, and she brought up beets and was interested if we could plant beets in South Baldwin County this time of year.
Beets. I love beets. Let me start this conversation by saying I love beets. I love beets, and I love growing them myself. They're really good because you can get really good beet greens, and beet greens are as good as the beets. And they're both good. They're both delicious. They're wonderful. Beet greens are one of my favorite things in the entire world. No, don't plant them this time of year. Plant them in fall because they need a long season, and really – it is a little tougher on the Gulf Coast. But we want to come back, and I would sow them in September or October. You can, if you sow them in October, September, October, November, you can be harvesting them this time of year. This is the time of year you actually harvest beets. You don't sow them. It takes them a while. There are a number of beets out there. I like Lutz Green Leaf for overwintering. Lutz, L-U-T-Z, Green Leaf. Because it produces so many leaves, and the beets are so good, and they overwinter so well. I'll tell you one other thing, Mike, about beets. Sow them in fall, harvest them in spring. They need lots of limestone in the soil. They're one of those plants that they need an organic soil, but they need lots of calcium, more than most plants. And so if I have a soil that the pH is a little bit low, or if there's not enough calcium availability in the soil, the beets don't do as well. So start preparing the area where you want to grow your beets. Start now. As I like to say on the Gulf Coast, we have to aspire to beets. And you have to recognize, boy, they're really good, but they take a little bit extra work.
Yeah.
Does that help?
I appreciate that. That's perfect. I did try to send you a picture last week of my Brussels sprouts. They never really, I guess, produced, you know, that well. I had some that were maybe the size of a quarter in diameter, but, you know, they just never really made it, and I think I'm about ready to pull them up and move on to something else.
Yeah, so, and that's it. You know, it's the problem, and my dad did great with Brussels sprouts in central Alabama where it's a little cooler for longer. They do not do well when it gets hot. The little balls don't form. They don't head up. And so you get these kind of loose little balls up and down the stem, and you say, what's that about? But it's the heat. And they don't like when the weather heats up too quickly, and they don't like starting out in heat. It's just, I don't think we have a long enough cool season to do Brussels sprouts really well.
Well, what about asparagus? Have you had any luck with any asparagus beds in our area?
I have had incredible luck with asparagus in central Alabama and north Alabama. I have had terrible luck with asparagus in Mobile. Here's the problem. Asparagus needs winter dormancy. It never shuts down in Mobile. It just keeps growing. So what you end up with, it survives. It almost becomes weedy, but it never develops a sizable stem. And so it's always disappointing. You get lots of spindly little stems. And I've tried lots of varieties trying to fix this, and I can't fix it because we just don't get enough winter dormancy here in Mobile. We can do lots of other things. You take pride in the things you can do really, really well, and we get to boast about the things we do well, like satsumas and many other things, but we don't do asparagus and Brussels sprouts very well this far south.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, Mike. Good to hear from you.
Born. And there's a backwards old town that's often remembered so many times that my memories are worn. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County?